craft beer lovers and brewers like you and me are looking forward to safely enjoying a beer together in tap rooms across the nation and the world. Know what else we can look forward to this year? BreweryDB, the industry's only professionally curated source of brewery and beer information, is unveiling an all-new platform for brewers and fans of craft to find the ultimate brewery experience. BreweryDB is the most complete database of breweries and beers available. More than 1 million craft beer lovers visited breweries in 2019 after searching for and planning their visits at BreweryDB.com. Breweries can get in front of craft beer lovers looking for a cold one by going to MarketMyBrewery.com and creating a profile. Craft beer lovers can follow BreweryDB on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn to get the latest updates on the new platform scheduled to launch early this year. The best part? It's all free. Good Beer Matters shares the stories of craft and culture found in every glass, and I'm excited to announce that the Good Beer Matters podcast and BreweryDB are collaborating this year to help you get to the bottom of it. Visit us at goodbeermatters.net and breweryDB.com to finally have the experience you've been missing. My name is Jeremy, and this is Good Beer Matters.
Passion is infectious. You just love it so much, you realize, like, okay, I might have been here just because this was the best thing right now, but I'm realizing more and more that I love it. Those skills are unique and are transferable and are extremely valuable to not just this industry and the pillars within, but even outside of it.
If you know, then you know. And anyone who has ever worked in the restaurant industry knows that it's hard work that takes knowledge and skill. My next guest is a leader who helps those in the hospitality industry improve their skills and leverage them for the better. I've studied, traveled, and tasted my way through some of the best beer the world has to offer. Over the past few years, I've also spoken to beer industry leaders from around the globe, and one thing is certain: the art, the science, and the culture of beer has more of a profound effect on us than we realize. There's a story of craft and culture found in every glass, and I intend to get to the bottom of it. These are the stories of us, of great food and the beer that brings it all together. I hope you enjoy episode 70 of Good Beer Matters with Alice Chang of Culinary Agents. Coming on to the show, this is a conversation I've been wanting to have for quite a while now, which is a slight departure from just very beer centric. This is very restaurant and industry centric. But thank you so much for coming on to the Good Beer Matters podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. I'm eager to kick off the new year having this conversation with you, and I think we'll have some fun with it.
When you and I spoke prior to this, I could tell right away that you and I were somewhat of kindred spirits on a different path. I could just tell you and I were both kind of excited about the same things, excited about the restaurant industry and the potential that it holds. And even just kind of the stories that I'll just kind of briefly share mine. After leaving a life in the fire service, I decided I needed to do something different. So I went back to restaurant work for the quick and easy stuff. And I have to admit, I was not looking forward to that. I felt like that was a kind of a default that I had to face, and I was not very positive about that, but it was a necessary evil. But a curious thing happened that I fell in love with the restaurant business all over again. I fell in love with beer. That trajectory turned took me off in so many different paths and possibilities, and has created so many opportunities. And that's kind of what we're here to talk about today is for those people in the restaurant industry. If you want to stay there, great. If you want to do something else, then here's what you need to know, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I too found myself being drawn back into this industry after spending many years when I was younger working in service, working in a restaurant, in a hotel, doing, you know, home waitressing on the side with a catering company. And after 13 years in technology, you know, throughout the time that I was working at, you know, at IBM, all of my free time and the things that I loved and enjoyed and looked forward to revolved around, you know, restaurants and, you know, bars and just experiencing, you know, the hospitality industry, both, you know, with colleagues of mine, but then also with friends of mine who continued to work in it. And I think there's something so special about this industry and all the facets of it. And from a working standpoint, I think there are more opportunities now more than ever. And quite frankly, it's become more obvious that people with hospitality experience, you know, whichever role and for however long, quite frankly, those skills are unique and are transferable and are extremely valuable to not just this industry and the pillars within, but even outside of it.
And we're going to unpack what you just said. That is a perfect little like intro into everything we're going to cover. But let me pull back real quick. Will you please introduce yourself and give us kind of an overview of your background? Well, you already just gave us the background of your in the restaurant industry, but give us an introduction of who you are and what you're doing now.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm Alice Chang. I'm the founder and CEO of culinaryagents.com. Born and raised in New York, worked in retail and food service and restaurants and hotels through most of my high school years into my early college years, and just absolutely loved it. But, you know, in Manhattan, I needed to pay rent and finish college and pay for college and, you know, taking a steadier, if you will, at the time, job with a more consistent schedule. Led me to work in the mailroom at IBM. Actually, I'm a mailroom story for a couple of months, growing quickly within IBM. I ended up spending 13 years there. So I worked full time, went to school full time, and just loved learning about technology, how it was transforming industries. I'm going to date myself a little bit. This is, you know, this is at a time where digital was really transforming the future of content, you know, video distribution, music, et cetera. You know, back in 99. And IBM allowed me and afforded me a lot of great opportunities that I aggressively went after because I wanted to learn and be a part of kind of this transformation. So I transferred to California. I worked in Silicon Valley for a couple of years and on just the coolest projects. You know, one very notable one that I always look fondly upon is Netflix and doing their streaming product and just seeing how small startup companies who are focused with conviction to change things because they believe that technology can improve experiences and open up opportunities. And just watching, you know, the Facebooks of the world and Google, Yahoo, and all these companies really drive tremendous change. And, you know, I had moments where I was using tools and I'm like, why aren't there tools like this, like LinkedIn for the hospitality industry? You know, the challenges that my chef friends and my sommelier friends and servers and those who were also owning establishments now, you know, always kind of complaining that they couldn't find the right staff at the right time or, on top of all the challenges they face on a regular basis, they had all these like mishmash of tools to use that they didn't really know what was working, and talented people were, you know, scrolling Craigslist and, you know, post shift at 2-3 in the morning. And it just kind of baffled me. And you know, I decided to do something about it. So I very fortunately had a great career at IBM that I learned many things. And, you know, I woke up one day and I was like, now's the time. And I started building Culinary Agents and the concept of how do we have this tool that's focused on helping talent and businesses connect around job opportunities, but making it really easy for talent to discover employer brands, connect with employers, apply to jobs, but also share their own skills and their resume in a very efficient way. And then equally for businesses, how do we make it more efficient for them to, you know, do job marketing, post their jobs, make that work for them effectively, and then make it efficient for them to connect and find talent that fit their requirements and that would be a great potential team member.
And I found,
so, voila, culinary agents.
Perfect. And I found just in the past, having looked at job sites, I could go to Indeed or something like that. And if I'm looking for a host position or bartender position at the closest restaurant, bar, pub, brewery, I would go there. But that's also the same place that someone's looking for a CEO job or a, whatever. So it was just kind of like a little bit of everything. And, as the saying goes, if you have everything, then you have nothing. And so for people who are specifically looking to stay in the in and around the restaurant industry, you've created that that site where people in that industry can go to look for jobs and opportunities. Is that basically what culinary agents is?
Absolutely, and get free resources, skill, hints and tips, inspiration. The other thing that I think that I'm one of the unique things that I'm so proud of is, we purposely built something that was nationwide. One of the things I think more so in this industry than others is that people are more mobile. Like they move for opportunities. They're more willing to adapt, to change. If there's a individual that they really want to learn from, or a particular skill set that from somebody or a company they admire, they're more likely to kind of go. If they have the opportunity to actually work there for a while, right? So there was this kind of lack of transparency, if you will, or ease to, how do you get a trail in Chicago when you live in San Francisco? How do you, if you're in New York and you want to work for, such and such in Philly, how do you even connect with them and get a chance, right? So the fact that we, do multi, you can easily search and apply to and connect with employers in different cities. Stories that we hear all the time, which we love, are, folks who are able to coordinate, they're somewhere for vacation or they're visiting and they want to come in for a trail. And, and what comes from these connections are opportunities and possibilities. And those are the things I think that were most difficult, in the past because of, tools that, quite frankly, lack transparency and just cause for more confusion. When you're an employer and you post up one job and you get 500, 700 random emails, some with attachments, some without, some that are totally random and they clicked it by mistake, as an employer, you're overwhelmed as well. And to sift through all that to find somebody, and then you as the candidate, to stand out and cut through that noise, it's exhausting. It's hard enough to find the right job and to connect with employers, let alone get the job and make sure that you're getting an opportunity.
Well, and you bring up an interesting point too. There is a fair amount of transient workforce in the restaurant industry in general, let alone during the time of COVID. And as an employer, if I'm opening a restaurant and I want to bring in, the best servers, the best bartenders, the best cooks, the best chefs, basically we just kind of go off of resume and references. And even if we went to that extent of contacting references, but you've, on culinary agents, you've created a profile. So you can, it's basically like, as I understand it, kind of a LinkedIn for the restaurant biz, where you can go through and see what people have done if they have a profile, correct?
Absolutely. And then furthermore, our technology, we kind of say LinkedIn meets match.com for jobs. Our technology actually does, we run matching algorithms based upon what the employer is looking for and what talent say they have from a skill standpoint, experience, et cetera. So we also kind of do a two-way, push-pull. So not only, if you happen to miss an opportunity that you're interested in or you set up alerts for, et cetera, you actually get pinged when a job comes up that you might be interested in, whether it's in the area that you've indicated you're willing to move to, or it's, within a 30-mile radius from where you physically are. So, there are a lot of different ways. Everyone's busy. And, I think what we continue to do is build this tool for both the talent and the businesses in this industry. And when I started the company, I was extremely adamant about not being another startup that was like, hey, I can solve all your problems, right? There were kind of enough of those, too many tools and apps that you know, seemed like a good idea, might have been interesting, raised some money and, like, you know, just tried to sell, you know, restaurateurs on stuff. And I was like, you know, I know this is a problem, you know, and it's a complex one. And for many different reasons, because, you know, a bartender job description for, you know, for a fine dining, you know, hotel, restaurant or fine dining establishment is different than a bartender job description for a local, you know, a local popular spot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they may require some similar skills, but to a certain extent, you know, there are differences. And so I think one of the challenges in this industry is that there are lack of kind of standards and like, what does one mean versus another? You know, if you've been a line cook for many years and you're ready and you've done all the stations and you've mastered all the things that you believe you should be mastering and you start applying to sous chef jobs and you're not getting them, you know, it's like, why not? Right. I feel like I'm ready. And, you know, from an employer standpoint, you know, their thinking might be different than what you feel that you're ready for. So, you know, I think this is an evolving, you know, how do we continue to make the tool better? But our matching algorithms have really helped talent discover opportunities that they might not have thought that they were qualified for, or just wasn't on their radar, just, you know, because they were focused on another, you know, employer or job. And from an employer standpoint, it's allowed them to kind of broaden their talent pool and be proactive. You know, here are lists of passive candidates that are interested and match your requirements. So, you know, go ahead, be proactive, reach out to them, tell them you're interested, right? And that also does something to the process overall. You know, when someone is thinking about it, but not quite sure whether it be confidence or just timing, and then the employer reaches out, right? That something triggers when that interaction happens.
Now, talk to me about not just finding the opportunities and finding the people. Talk to me about the educational resources you have on the site as well. That, you know, if I'm working in the restaurant industry, or in my case, the brewing industry, how can I learn more and level up my abilities, knowledge, and skills?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for highlighting that. You know, we do have a resource section on our website that we kind of focus in a couple of different areas. One around career development, where we break down skills, career advice, and ask an expert. And then a whole section around, you know, career timelines, where we have kind of mini interviews with industry leaders from all aspects of the industry. And we break down essentially their resume, you know, how they got to where they are, what they did, what was their education, you know, and then we have them give raw advice to aspiring and existing workers. And it's really, it's great for a couple of reasons. One is the resources we have on our site, we really focus on just easily digestible, relevant topics that, you know, half of them are topics that our audience have asked us to kind of dive deeper into. And other topics are just things that we see that could be helpful based upon feedback and what we're seeing trending, you know, during current events. And what we find is not only do we kind of aggregate these easily digestible, you know, hints and tips or listicles, et cetera, but we also target that content into your feed. So if you are, you know, if your profile and the things that you selected are bar related or beer related, you know, we'll feed in, you know, the Ask an Expert with our Cicerone, with, you know, beverage director tips on how to, you know, do such and such, and service tips and stuff like that. So I think for us, it's a combination, and I'm really excited because it's going to feed into kind of one of the biggest projects that we just kicked off this year. Around skills and specifically skills as it relates to a career path. You know, breaking it down of what are the skills, what are the required skills, what are the skills that you have, where are the gaps, what should you be considering as you're looking to the next step in your career, whether it be, you know, across a pillar within hospitality or you know, how do you transfer those skills outside, right? You know, I think this is an industry with just such a diverse kind of wonderful group of people at all walks of life, whether it be, you know, as you mentioned, kind of, you know, coming back or, you know, taking what they learned from another era, realizing that they're kind of coming home, or realizing that, you know, this is temporary and they really want to take these experiences into something else. And I think that's one of the beauties of this industry. And for us, you know, we want to provide as many free resources and relevant content as efficiently and as quickly as possible, so that folks who are kind of here, whether they're stopping by or coming through or here for good, you know, are getting things that are helping them.
And that's great. And so there's kind of a evolution of someone who's in the restaurant industry when he or she just gets better at it and gets to a point where they are the consummate professional there. And if he or she decides that I want to move on to something else, like in my case, I surprised myself, but I found that I loved working in breweries. I loved the fine dining. I loved becoming that guide along this kind of culinary adventure. And we'll get back to that in a second. But I had young kids at home, and I was gone 5 nights a week, and that got old quickly. So I had to find a way to not be the server, but serve the servers. And we'll dive into that afterwards. But when it comes back to leveling up your game, let's talk directly to those people who are in the service industry right now. What is the difference between just a mere order taker and someone who is that table guide?
Yeah, well, that's a couple approaches to that. And, you know, I think I'll caveat and start off by saying, you know, it depends on what the individual is hoping to get out of it, why they're there, right? Most service workers and folks certainly whom I've encountered over time, and even when I'm just out casually, you know, they embody, you know, the motivation, all the things that you want to provide great service to you while you're a guest. I think when you start taking a step back, and if you look at, if you focus on the skilled aspect, you know, because we won't dive into the personal motivations. But from a skill standpoint, it is noticeable when somebody is, there's a certain level of, dare I say, selling, right? But it's a combination of knowledge and the way it's presented in a timely and a relevant manner. Whether you are a server and you're able to take the cues from the guest to help them potentially make better decisions, or suggest and help them discover something that they potentially just didn't even know existed, but based upon what they're ordering or the questions that you're asking, you can identify that, you know, they would just really enjoy something. You know, I think those types of dot connecting experiences, if you will, really, you know, bring the overall kind of experience for both sides next level, right? Whether or not you're being incentivized to, you know, offer those products, you know, is another story. But I think there is this natural enjoyment that comes from this, you know, helping people discover. And again, as a natural result, you're selling them on something that, you know, hopefully and most likely they'll enjoy. You know, you're doing it based upon your knowledge and your skill. You know, I think it's also obvious when somebody is just, you know, taking your order, right? And I think, you know, going back to where I started with, you know, and your personal reasons for being there, you know, if it's you're an order taker and you're here to do something to get to the next step, then, you know, I think you'll get back what you put out there. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that happens. But for those who reach a point during their time in this industry, and I've seen this happen, and it brings a big smile to my face, you know, you reach a time when you just love it so much, you realize, like, okay, I might have been here just because this was the best thing right now, but I'm realizing more and more that I love it, and that there's more, and there's different ways and routes that I can continue down this path, whatever it may be. but there is this connection of, you know, I enjoy this. I enjoy helping people discover, you know, different wines or beers or a dish or an ingredient or something, and I'm being compensated for it, and that feels good, and I want to do more of it, right? And I think that's where you see the sparks of from some folks that really continue and thrive in this industry as a career.
And my experience is, my experience is that if there's just one aspect of your life that you care about and you put the effort in, then it doesn't really work. If you're someone who just cares about every aspect of your life, everything that you touch, you want to improve upon, that will eventually catch up and do all sorts of good. And in my case, with working in the restaurant biz and as bartending, everything else, I look back and I can draw a line into my beer nerdery that I engage in now. There were times when it was slow at the bar, and so I grabbed all the servers and said, "Hey, let's figure out the difference between these gins and what they taste like. Let's taste these different scotches. Let's taste the different stuff." And we would put them in a warm glass so we could smell them better. It would release the volatiles quickly. It'd water it down so we could just take a little taste and be able to tell the difference of flavors, so we could help, you know, recommend a different experience depending on what that is. But I just, as far as the experience overall, it's just reading your table, knowing the energy of the table, figuring out what kind of experience these people want, and then knowing your product, having enough confidence in yourself to say, "I'm going to lead this group on a journey."
I've got a question for you. How are you engaging with your customers? Are you adding value or just vying for attention? If you have a business, then you are an authority and should be regarded as a partner in everyone's mutual success. But getting that message across in the first place, that's the trick. At Mountain Sea Media, I use education and storytelling to keep your brand on top of mind. So if you're done with ineffective marketing and want to create more impact, I want Mountain Sea Media to be your resource for high-value branded content. Contact me at jeremy@mountainseamedia.com to explore the possibilities. After all, it's your story. I'll help you tell it.
Absolutely. And just like I heard in your voice, you know, passion is infectious. And passion and, you know, that shines in many different ways. And if you're passionate about this industry and your position and, you know, that will find its way through, even if you're having, you know, not the best day. And, you know, on the flip side, if this really isn't what you want to do and you're just, you know, you don't want to do it, then, you know what, there's so many skills that you have already inherently been using and honing in on as you've been doing this, that you can easily take into other industries. You know, if you break it down, you know, sales, people skills, crisis management, reading a table, reading a room, reading a person, anticipation, proactiveness. I mean, these are all things that, you know, an IT director wants, or, you know, your sales manager at, you know, such and such company would love to have too. So, you know, it's all good. It's a stepping stone to your next endeavor. But you know, I think now more than ever, it's like if you don't want to do it, you know, do your self reflection and figure out how you get out of it, right?
Yeah, right. Well, and even if you don't want to do something, it just in general blanket statement, even if you don't want to do it, in this case, in the restaurant industry, if you're just going there because, you know, you need to make a little bit of cash where you're going to school or something like that, you have to understand that if you do a better job, you will get better tips. You will get more opportunity. You will get more shifts. The opportunities and the benefits will just come. And so there were times when I just wasn't feeling like I wanted to go to work, and you show up, and then just, you know, as soon as you step in, just that little switch would flip, and all of a sudden, boom, we're off to the races, and this is the greatest day ever. There are ways to take advantage of the time that you're there, whether you love it or don't. But it all has to do with passion and knowing your purpose and knowing where it is you want to go. I think that is really crucial in getting through some of these times when you don't want to be a career server. No problem. But this time that you're in will create so many more benefits. And there's so many people that embody that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're probably getting to this. One of the things that I always say, you know, whether or not I'm giving advice to, you know, folks who are in the industry or people who are outside the industry, is what I did when I was early on at IBM, because I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be in advertising and marketing. I only took the job because it was full time and it worked with my schedule, was, you know, where do you want to be 1 year, 3 years, 5 years from now, and then long term? How do you get there, right? Who has the job that you want? What skills do they have that you don't, that you should, you know, look into? There are more resources than ever out there right now. 20 years ago, it was really, really scarce. And, you know, I think one of the things, you know, that's so wonderful now, and especially after, you know, 2020, if we're looking for positive things that came out of that, is that there are more different types of opportunities that you can utilize your skills and your love for the industry now more than ever. And it's not so cut and dry. It's not so, you know, to my earlier point, if you don't like it, you know, move out of this situation. But, you know, what I find is a lot of times people just love the industry, but their life circumstance has changed. They want to figure out how they can, you know, continue to do what they love and what they're passionate about, but, you know, do it in a different way, right?
You're talking about me right now, aren't you?
Sure. but that is just, that's so great. Those are real indications of industries and careers that are getting created because of technology enablement, opportunities coming out of, you know, unfortunate circumstance, and the change of behavior of the guests, right? So, you know, virtual education, people are more passionate about products, about, you know, about their favorite brewery, about, they want to learn more, they want to connect with, and they want to support the purveyors and the producers that they enjoy. And now more than ever, they're able to connect more directly with, you know, those people and the owners and the products that they really enjoy. Right. And there are really, there are a lot of hidden gems of opportunities in there, some that, you know, people haven't really explored yet, I believe.
Well, and you just brought up something that is kind of near and dear to my heart, but we are in an age where there's so many boutique shops and artisanal products, beer, sake, wine, cheese, bread. I mean, there's so many different things, bean to bar chocolate. There's so many different things that people are making from a foundation of passion. And if you're feeling kind of stuck in a role, then all you have to do is get into one of these positions and be around other people who are just absolutely maniacally giddy about what they do. And that, like you said, that passion is infectious, and it brings a level of education, a level of experience, knowledge, skill sets, all the stuff that if you don't stay in the world of cheese, beer, wine, chocolate, then that same mindset will transition into that that job that you have in mind down the line.
Absolutely. And you know, another thing about this industry that is just so, you know, magical, it's the people. It's, you know, the people's willingness to share their knowledge, to, you know, share that passion and get other people to enjoy and learn. That is something that I think everyone can take advantage of a little bit more. You know, if you think about word of mouth and just people helping people, and how many times, you know, businesses and purveyors and people and talent are just connecting each other and helping them. This industry more than ever, right? I mean, it happens in life, but also, you know, in different industries, but this industry in particular. And it's really interesting how, you know, there's this combination of, and I'm sure you know many people like this too, there's a humbleness factor, there's a people, you know, there's a don't really want to ask for help type of factor that rolls into, I think, like a foundational like personality trait across a lot of people in this industry. And, you know, sometimes asking your buddy or coworker or somebody who's knowledgeable about an area that that you're interested in, or maybe just somebody that has an outlook or a drive that you want to, you know, get a little piece of or better understand, you know, ask them, you know, take them out for a coffee, a beer, whatever, and pick their brain, you know, and I feel like sometimes, you know, people don't ask, and sometimes, you know, that connection gets lost. So I think it's okay to, you know, seek out the people that you admire and you want to learn from, and figure out a way to chat with them, to, you know, to connect with them, to learn from them, even if it's someone from afar that you just admire and you don't have any connections to, you know, follow them, learn from them, read what they write, read their advice. You know, I call it virtual mentorship.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, there are people who I don't know directly, but I admire them. I read their, you know, newsletters. When they send out little hints and tips, I follow them. And kind of by default, I feel like, you know, I kind of am connected to their, you know, what they're putting out there, right? So it's very easy to do that now, and it wasn't so easy to do that, you know, many years ago.
Well, and it's funny you bring that up too, because I first discovered you on LinkedIn. I kept seeing your name come through in all these posts, and they were all centered around the restaurant industry. And I started clicking on these just to see what they were about, because, you know, as you and I discussed prior, you and I feel very similarly about this same thing, which is why you're on the podcast today. But I kept kind of reading through the stuff and thinking, yes, we, you know, my goal is for people in the brewing business to do a better job. And it's so easy to do a better job, but it just takes that mindset. It takes just that tiny bit of effort to take the next step, to every day do your best plus one. And it's not moving mountains. It's not sending a rocket to space. It's just doing a little bit better. And all of these articles that you were putting out there were kind of speaking to that same thing. And for me, it got a little inspiring and kind of reminded me, like, yes, people need to know this.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I was excited, of course, when you reached out. And, you know, I think you're absolutely right. As you know, everyone's busy. I would say people in this industry are like busy plus 10. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, for what it's worth, what 2020, you know, did, especially to folks in this industry who historically, you know, had, you know, barely a couple hours a day to themselves, right, was it gave them a little time, whether it was, you know, welcomed or not. But, you know, taking a step back and kind of re-evaluating and then looking at opportunities and trying to figure out, you know, what they individually can be doing or should be doing during this time, and, you know, what they want to do. And it gets really, you know, it's really hard to have those buckets of time to think and reevaluate when you just don't have any time.
Yeah. There definitely was at least a little bit of a silver lining through this whole COVID experience, where we did get to reflect, and I certainly did, and most people I know did. But you know, for those people who were in the restaurant industry and were summarily displaced because of COVID, or even just in general, years from now when people listen to this, or years after COVID when people listen to this, if you're in the restaurant industry and you decide that you're ready to you know, pursue that next job, maybe if it's in an office, maybe it's for a company, maybe you just got your law degree and you're leaving the restaurant to go practice law, how can someone leverage the skill set, leverage the experiences that they gained in a restaurant? What are these experiences and skill sets that people need to pay a little bit more attention to and give a little bit more of a nod to?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm going to see if I can narrow it down a little bit because I have a lot of thoughts around here. And having spent so much time and continue to spend time outside, you know, working with people outside of the industry and also in the industry, of course, sometimes it's really obvious for me, which is what I try to kind of narrow down and share with everyone else. I think in general, the people skills, and you know, obviously, certain positions within a restaurant, you get a little more exposure to some of these things than others. But the universal, really beneficial skills that are so transferable that we see all the time is, you know, like teamwork, organization, listening skills, communication, problem solving, multitasking. You know, so you know, paying attention to detail. I think. You know, people skills, communication skills, that's something I think inherently comes with a great, you know, server, bartender, manager, the ability to deal with, people, guests, you know, in certain situations, under certain circumstances, keep calm, be able to prioritize and manage, problem solve while you're, you know, multitasking. I mean, these are things that are not, you know, that are not easy and are not common across, you know, everyone. So I feel like those are some of the things that become kind of second nature to a lot of people, especially if you work front of house. Inventory management, organization skills, you know, a lot of those. Teamwork, I think, is just something that is so invaluable across whatever job, whatever industry you work with. You're going to have to work with people for the most part. Any industry that has people, and communication and people skills and following through and organization, I think, are just skills that are good for life, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and even back to our conversation about the difference between an order taker and a table guide, it has more to do with mentality, and I think the mental skills really come into play as well. If someone learns how to become that table guide, to read the room, to deliver an experience, well, we're really talking about leadership skills. We're talking about the ability to lead a company in different aspects, and that's more of a mental thing. That's something that is harder to teach, and it's harder to find from a employer standpoint, I would imagine.
Absolutely, and one thing that I'll emphasize and probably sums it up, everything you and I just said, is one of the main cultural pillars of culinary agents is a hospitality-driven approach. And when you think about doing things with a hospitality-driven approach and things that, you know, you're naturally hospitable, you know, you're more empathetic, you kind of put yourself in somebody else's shoes differently in any given situation, you can solve problems by looking at things from different points of view. You know, when your goal is to engage and be hospitable, you approach things differently. You do things differently. Mm-hmm. And there's an extra level of care, and that can be applied to whether or not you're a customer service rep and you're trying to help somebody solve a problem, you know, via, you know, help ticket, or if you're in retail and you're dealing with the situation, or you are, you know, running your own business and you're trying to figure out how to, you know, service your customers or guests. And, you know, I think for me, that's the thing that also folks take away with them when they are, you know, going to different parts of the industry or outside, is this hospitality-driven approach, different way of thinking, I think, in how you do things.
Well, and my if I were to take that and kind of describe what that actually means and what that looks like, at least in my mind, it's you know, I imagine if I were to have a family dinner at my house to celebrate grandma's, you know, 89th birthday or something like that. Am I going to let all the aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents come over and then say, "What do you guys want to eat?" I'm not going to do that. I'm going to have a plan. I'm going to prep everything. Everything's going to be laid out nice, and it's going to be celebratory. And that's the difference between reacting and taking orders or pre-planning and being that guide. You're going to plan on delivering an experience. And I think that's a simple take home of how to change your mindset of how this is going to go.
Yeah. And I guarantee, you know, you and a lot of people who will be listening to this or who are listening, you know, I bet you, your friends and your family members' allergies, their preferences, you know, how well done or how rare they want that steak, you know, and you just naturally, like if you're having this dinner party, right, you know, so-and-so likes medium rare, this person likes it well done. So-and-so doesn't like goat cheese. They want it on the rocks. They want it straight up. They prefer an olive, you know, and it's just natural, right? And you're thoughtful about it. Okay, you know, somebody is allergic to eggs. So, okay, the menu should, you know, you want them to be able to eat as many things as possible. So let's just avoid using eggs, right? Whatever it may be.
Yeah. Yeah. And even just knowing people's names, I mean, every restaurant has regulars, and just being able to, you know, see them walk in, say, Mr. Anderson, nice to see you again. Your usual table, something like that. It goes so far. So another question I have too, I mean, besides becoming a wine sommelier or in my case, a beer cicerone, I know there are certified cheesemongers. Are you aware of any other areas in the service industry and the food industry that offer higher education?
Oh, that's a great question.
Of course, you can go to culinary school too, but and if like for someone who's, you know, working at a restaurant, maybe they're a line cook or a busser or a server, and they're like, I kind of like this, but I don't know what my path takes. I mean, that might be a better way to define it.
Yeah, I think there certainly are more specialty areas that have continued to emerge over the years, and that is a result of a combination of things we've already discussed here. People who have found an area that they're extremely passionate and decided that was going to be their area of expertise and just wanted to learn and everything about it and be, you know, the subject matter expert. I think, you know, in addition to, you know, the different segments of beverages, if you will, or spirits, they're definitely are people who specialize in, you know, gin and bourbon, et cetera. I think we'll see more of, you know, there's definitely techniques. So certain individuals or restaurants who do certain or employ certain techniques that I think are unique that people definitely seek to go learn more of, you know, to build upon their foundational of cooking, if you will, whether it's, you know, certain ways to innovate, you know, dishes and flavors, et cetera. I think that there will continue to be, you know, like baking, sourdough. There's definitely folks who are continuing to excel and innovate in certain areas that inspire kind of the next group of folks who want to follow in their footsteps and potentially create off branches of their own. So I think absolutely there are opportunities always for people to be more specialized in an area and, you know, balance that out by making it known that you're a specialist in that area, right? Because it's a combination of one, going down a focused path and becoming extremely knowledgeable and, specialized. But then how do they take that knowledge, and share it? How do they build their own brand, their personal brand, around being a specialist in that area, right? And if the goal is then for that to be, you know, the career path for that individual, okay, well then how do you build, what does a business look like around that? How can you share your skills? What can you develop that's unique to yourself and the subject matter that you are an expert in? And how do you make that available and make a business out of it, right? Is it training? Is it educational resources? Is it specialized tours because you have specific relationships and areas that you curate? You know, there's kind of different ways to draw upon that. And if there isn't an area that's a specialty and you're passionate about it, then go for it. You know, you can be the first.
Yeah. And I've always loved the more creative side of things, and I've always been inspired by those people. Let me back up. And I've also kind of been a teacher or a guide at heart ever since I was a kid. And so I'm always inspired by those people who have basically created a beer education role for themselves at, you know, brewery X, Y, or Z, or that, you know, person who becomes the resident mixologist for this particular spirit brand, or people who go off and write about this thing that they love. That was the path that I finally carved out for myself. But for those people, you know, you want to continue on in sales and make more money, well, there are food companies and beverage distributors. And I mean, there's so many different ways to go, from having this foundational knowledge that, I mean, it's completely up to you to go find it. But thanks to culinary agents, it's not going to be quite so hard.
Absolutely. I mean, this industry and ecosystem is just massive. And I think what we're all finding, and what, you know, those of you who have already started to or who will, engage in those conversations will find, is that your purveyors and your product, developers and the companies you work for, you know, they are looking for passionate, knowledgeable people that will go out and be their ambassadors and go, you know, evangelize and sell their product as well. So it doesn't hurt to ask, you know, and I think that's where you see some of these positions emerge, right? It's just natural from a relationship, or somebody put some idea in somebody else's head of saying, well, wouldn't it be great for such and such who already understands this and loves our product to go, you know, be a brand ambassador or an evangelist or a salesperson or whatever. And that could be a really unique opportunity for that individual to evolve their career or their lifestyle, depending on what they're looking to do.
Well, and so just a little favor to ask, if you can help me find a job as a resident Cicerone on a cruise ship that tours the Mediterranean and the Caribbean back and forth, and I can bring my family with me, I'd really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
No problem.
I'll
make a couple calls.
No problem. Yeah, just a couple calls. Okay, for the sake of winding down, I'm trying to figure out how the best to word this. I'm just going to be clear about it. You have the opportunity to be queen of the beer and the restaurant world for a day, just for a day, but you will be the queen, and any decree you make will happen. What would you change?
Oh, wow. In the United States?
Of the entire world. You are the beer and restaurant queen of the world for a day.
You know, I think without getting too deep into it and without taking the fun out of it, because this is a fun question, I think this industry is so complex and so beautiful in so many ways. There are some foundational aspects of the industry that I think prohibits some of the growth and innovation, whether it be, the tipping culture, the structure, how certain businesses are run, et cetera. But I'll also say that that's probably one of the beautiful things that adds to this really dynamic industry. So if I could change something, I would say, you know, to bring the entire ecosystem together in a way where it's more obvious on how people can help each other and to thrive in the industry. I think that that sometimes people leave the industry not because they want to, but because things change and, you know, opportunities arise and they need to make decisions based upon, you know, what works best for them. So I would love to enable people to continue to work in the area that they're passionate about, but really make a living that's meaningful by, you know, sharing that passion in whatever capacity it might be. In some ways, I'm a little self-serving because that's, you know, underlying a lot of what we're building, the technology that we're building at Culinary Agents, which is how do we create this industry hub that spans from finding a job, getting advice, getting, skills, how does the tool help them discover, ways that they can evolve their career and get the resources that they need free way, but then also make it so they can connect with each other and do things that are beneficial to them to thrive, in general, not just within that specific career path. We launched a marketplace at the end of last year, largely to add another aspect to allow for the industry to buy, sell, trade new and used restaurant equipment, supplies, merch. And then we're going to be adding services to that. So both tech and then individual services. So, I would in my role as queen here, I would love to enable this massive group of people and businesses who just have, passion and grit and perseverance and resilience kind of oozing from their pores. Just enable them to be able to operate and grow and thrive.
Excellent. God save the queen. You also are imbued with the ability to choose your very last meal and your very last beer within the theme of the podcast, or any beverage of your choice, really. But you get to choose your last meal and your last drink before you depart the earth. What would you choose?
Oh, man. I would choose probably Via Corona in Manhattan. I would have the cacio e pepe and the salad and their chopped steak. And beverage-wise, beer-wise, we've been really into Hudson Valley Brewery on their sours. Recently or throughout COVID, I should say. So I'd probably have to do that and with a side of maybe some Sinsky wine.
So what, we're just going to have a drink buffet, right? The day before we go.
Absolutely.
take this next question with a little bit of grain of salt. It's based about beer because I am what I am. But you can definitely extrapolate this to the restaurant industry as well. But the question is, why does good beer matter?
Because life is too short to drink bad beer.
Simple, sweet. I love it. I need a t-shirt that says that. I'm sure they're out there. How about the restaurant industry? How about the food industry? I mean, is there more to it than that, or is it just simple? It's got to be good, or
it's simple. It's got to be good, and good is relative. To me, and I think for a lot of folks, it's the experience. Restaurant industry is not going away. It's going to evolve. It has evolved. I think there's a lot of positive things that's coming from the evolution, but it's not going away. People just crave, the experience, the dining, and good is relative. Good is the experience, and all aspects of, the food, the service, the beer, the wine, the tea, coffee, whatever your beverage of choice is. And it matters because it's woven into, I think, the foundation of our society. It's part of being, I think, for me personally, it's one of the biggest pleasures of life is going out and enjoying and tasting and discovering and enjoying and sharing that with, friends. And, when I go dine somewhere, I consider and I'd like to believe that that I treat the servers and the staff as friends. I try to bring them a little gift, whether it's Sharpies or wine keys or whatever, and you just treat them, just kind of bring them into the experience. And it's just I love it, and I'm very lucky that I get to work in the industry the way that I am as well.
I always stack my plates at the end of our meal. I always stack the plates from the table for my kids and my wife and have it like all set up ready to go for the servers just to grab one thing and go. And a few of them have actually said, you work in the industry, don't you? Said, well, once upon a time.
I believe it, yeah.
Yep. How can anyone listening to this, if they want to connect with you, culinary agents, LinkedIn, anything, how can people reach out to you?
Absolutely. So culinaryagents.com. You can create your profile. Everything's free for you to look for jobs, apply to jobs, et cetera. Resources are there as well for those who need to post jobs. You have different options and we make it really efficient and effective for you. You can always send an email to info@culinaryagents.com. And we're a small but mighty team and I'm very accessible if you have any specific questions or if I can help in any way. But if it's more of a generic, how can we be helpful, then you can find all the resources on culinaryagents.com.
It will, and I personally can attest that you were very accessible through LinkedIn as well. Actually, that's where you and I began conversing about this, and I was a little surprised that this CEO of this national company is responding to me on LinkedIn. I was like, well, we're right on. Let's get her on the show.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for reaching out, and I also have a newsletter on LinkedIn, so feel free to share that and follow that and suggest topics if there's something that you or your listeners are interested in us, diving deeper in. I'll do my best. But let's keep the conversation going.
Absolutely. And then last question, do you have any final words of wisdom or any calls to action for anyone listening?
I will say two things. One is a big thank you. I think for the people who have been working throughout this time in restaurants and in food service, thank you. I've been trying to do my part going out and dining and doing what I can and, safe. I've seen all the additional things that people have had to adapt to and accommodate. And, so one big thank you. The other thing is there are so many opportunities. You should not feel stuck or don't feel stuck in the world of career thinking. I encourage you to take a step back, really ask yourself, what's most important to you right now that you want to prioritize during your job search, and look for employers and opportunities that satisfy your needs, or at least start there to engage a conversation. So I would say take a step back and really put thought into what you want and what you need, whether it be right now or in the near future, and seek out employers and jobs that can satisfy your needs.
Alice Chang, thank you so much for coming on to the Good Beer Matters podcast. I absolutely loved having this conversation with you. It's very, very near and dear to my heart. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me, and I look forward to continuing the conversation with you as well.
I loved my time spent in the restaurant industry. It helped me develop the skills and knowledge that I now use every day. But spending a career in a restaurant isn't for everyone. I hope the knowledge and thought process from this episode helps you take the next step in your thriving career. In the next episode, we learn how a company is leading the charge to help breweries and on-premise retailers work smarter to better serve their guests. Good Beer Matters is a show about great beer, great friends, and the experiences we create together. But it's also about better beer education so you can level up your game. So if you're a beer and food professional or even a beer enthusiast, then please subscribe to Good Beer Matters podcast and go to goodbeermatters.net for more resources and next steps. After that, grab a beer, hang out with friends, and let the world open up. Thank you for listening. Cheers.